Okay. It is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Asim Kidwai. He is a Piedmont family practicing physician in East Ellijay. He is my personal physician, and he may be the physician of some of the rest of you in the audience. However, that is not why he's here today. I asked him if he would be willing to speak with us about the Islamic religion. I told him I knew very little about the Islamic faith and would appreciate his enlightening me and other members of the congregation. He readily agreed to speak with us. He then asked me, well, what do you want me to talk about? I said, I know next to nothing about Islam. I said, start from the basics. And he said, okay. And he came up with the title, Islam 101, which I thought was very clever. Dr. Kidwai was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and was raised in the Southeast. His family is originally from Pakistan, and his father is here with us today. He currently resides in Alpharetta with his wife, his three daughters, and his eldest daughter is with us today. They're ages 14, 7, and 4, and his son, who is 10 years old. Dr. Kidwai loves to spend time with his family, which is obvious, and to travel. If time permits, he likes to play basketball and play tennis. I'm certain you don't get to play those very often. Okay. His Islamic education was obtained from his parents and then continued through scholars of Islam within the United States. He received his Bachelor of Science degree in biology from Georgia Tech and earned his medical degree, okay, I'm going to try it, from the Universidad Iberoamericana, I did it right, in the Dominican Republic. He did his residency in Savannah, Georgia, with Mercer University. Dr. Kidwai is fluent in Spanish and is a devoted medical volunteer in the community and has aided in numerous medical relief efforts. I give you Dr. I asked him how you pronounce his first name. He said, Awesome. I said, it's Asim Kidwai.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you guys? Good. Let me... So, Mary asked me to speak to you guys about Islam. All right. I've done this a couple of times with different churches. Every church has a different feel to it, right? So, what I've learned over my times I speak at churches is that I make my speech very basic and very short, and then most people have a lot of questions. Right, so in the past when I've given these speeches, you know, the questions have gone on for like sometimes hour and a half because there are so many questions. All right, that won't happen here, but I'll try to keep it short and simple.
Actually, it could happen here. It's just that I won't let it happen.
I have no problem. If you have questions, I have no problem answering them. Okay, so I'm going to keep it very short and simple. Right, the very basics of Islam, and then we can go from there. All right, so. What is Islam? First, the word Islam means to submit, all right? And then, you know, scholars have said submission to who? Submission, obviously, first to God. And then, you know, submit to various other things, whatever you want it to mean after that. A person who follows Islam is a Muslim, right? So you see those words quite often used, Muslim, Islam. So that's the difference. Both of them mean the same thing. Islam is the religion. And then someone who follows the Islamic faith is a Muslim. All right? Cool. So Islam is a very, at a fundamental level, it's a very simple and basic religion, which I will summarize in 10 minutes. All right. So the first thing, there are five pillars of Islam. All right? So there's a saying of our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings be upon him. He said, Islam is based on five, and then he went through all five, right? So I'm going to go through each one and then give a little bit of detail on each one. So the first one is to testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except God, and that Muhammad is his last messenger. Okay? So this is the crux of the religion, right? So you have to believe that there is only one God. There is no other deity worthy of worship, right? He is our creator, he is our sustainer, he is our nourisher, he is the one who provides, he is everything, right? And then on top of that, he sent the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, down to mankind as a mercy and to teach his religion to the people, right? So we have to believe in God, and then we have to believe that Prophet Muhammad was his messenger and the last messenger that was ever going to come, okay? So that's the first one. So if you believe that, you are basically Muslim. You know, if someone says, I believe in those two things, you are a Muslim, right? You are a follower of Islam. And then the other things are things that, you know, you are required to do. But the basis of Islam is just that testimony that I believe there is no God except God without any partners or associates, and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his messenger. Okay, so that's the first one. The second one is to establish prayer, right? So in the Quran and in the sayings of the Prophet, it always says to establish prayer, not to say prayers, not to you know, just go in the corner and do a prayer. It says to establish prayer. So when you use the word establish, that means it needs to be a foundation and a very important part of your life, right? So what are prayers consist of in Islam? So there are five prayers in Islam, okay? The first one is right before sunrise, okay? Second one is right after noon. Then the third one is, we'll say afternoon. The fourth one is right after sunset, and then there's a fifth one at night. So these five prayers are obligatory. Anyone who practices Islam should be praying these five prayers. And there's some motions, I'm sure you guys have seen, you know, there's specific verses, there's verses from the Quran that we have to recite during these prayers. And in between, you know, we praise God and whatnot in between as well. And scholars have come up with umpteen reasons of why the prayers were established, right? The most logical and the most common sense is that we are so busy in life, right? We are so busy. As Mary said, I don't even have time to play tennis and basketball, something that I enjoy a lot. But God wants us to remember him throughout the day, right? Even though we're so busy, he asks us, he's like, hey, listen, you know life is busy. I know life is busy, but take some time. Take 5 minutes. Take 10 minutes. You know, throughout the day, to reset yourself and bring yourself back to me, back to God. So that's the purpose of prayer. And then the main purpose for me is that in the Quran, God says, "I have created you to worship me." Right? The ultimate verse that he puts in there is like, the reason I created mankind is for you to worship me. So this is a direct, you know, direct thing to that. That I created you, this is one of the best ways you can worship me. Alright, so those are two. The third one is to fast during the month of Ramadan. Alright. So Islam follows basically a lunar calendar, which is a little bit different than the Gregorian calendar. Lunar calendars, just for a quick summary, because it's a little confusing. Lunar calendars are actually 10 days shorter than the Gregorian calendar, right? So because of that, the year moves 10 days forward every year. So the month of Ramadan for us, according to the Gregorian calendar, moves up every 10 days. 10 days every year. So basically, we get to fast during every season of the year. So we fast in the summer when the days are long, but we get to fast in the winter as well when the days are short. So what does fasting consist of? Fasting is basically you don't eat anything, you don't drink anything, you don't have any sexual relations with your partner or spouse, and you try to be the best person that you can ever be, right? And you have to do that from basically sunrise to sunset. for 30 days during the month of Ramadan. All right. Now people are like, you don't eat anything during that time? Correct. We don't eat anything during that time. But once sunset hits, you can only imagine what we do. So, all right. Then the fourth one is to give alms. So it's very important, you know, even though God says that I have created you to worship me, part of that is being merciful and generous and kind to mankind. To the whole world, basically, even to animals and whatnot, right? And part of that, Allah or God puts, Allah is the basically the Arabic word for God, right? Some people say, oh, Allah is a different God. Allah is basically an Arabic word for God. So if you meet a Jew who is Arab or a Christian who is Arab, guess what word they use for God? They use Allah, right? So just a clarification, because sometimes, you know, we were like, oh, Allah is a different God, maybe. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So Allah or God, you know, ordained that we have to give alms. And the alms is very simple. It's 2.5% of the savings that you have. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but generally speaking, it's 2.5% of the savings that you have. So, you know, whatever you need to pay for your car and pay for your house and do this and whatnot, that's not included in it. It's like whatever you have left extra, 2.5%, you have to give to the poor or the needy or whoever needs it. Okay, so those are four. And then the fifth one is to make pilgrimage to Saudi Arabia, to a city called Mecca. All right, and the pilgrimage is called Hajj. All right, and Hajj is basically, you basically follow the footsteps of Abraham, Prophet Abraham. Okay, so in our scriptures, in our understanding, Abraham was commanded by God to go to Mecca and set up his first house. All right, and he built a house, and there's a big history, you know, there's a very, very intricate history, and we basically follow the footsteps of Abraham during this pilgrimage, because we consider Abraham the father of all the, you know, all the Abrahamic faiths, you know, Christianity, Judaism, Islam. We say it came from the same source, which was Abraham. Okay, so those are the five pillars. All right, and then I'll go over the six articles of faith. So articles of faith, you have to take as articles of faith. Now, what does what is faith? Faith is something that you believe, right? Sometimes there may not be proof for it. Sometimes it may be hard to explain, but there are articles of faith. So you have to have some type of faith in these things. Okay. So the first one is to believe in God. And we kind of went over that in the first pillar. Second is to believe in the angels. So God says he has angels. And the angels, basically, in our faith, angels are basically, they follow God's command to the T. They don't have their own wishes or whims that they can do anything on their own. They basically follow whatever God commands them to do. All right. Third one is to believe in his messengers, God's messengers. So the God's messengers, prophets, basically. So who are the prophets in Islam? So we talked about Prophet Muhammad, right? Who are the other prophets? Adam. Who else? Job. Jesus. Moses. Right? Solomon. David. I'm sorry. Isaiah. All of these are prophets of Islam as well. So we are commanded to hold them in the highest esteem possible, right? These were the prophets of God, which dictates that they were the best of the best that ever existed on this earth, which dictates that we have to respect them as such. All right. The fourth one, am I on the fourth? Yes. The fourth one is to believe in the books that were sent down to the prophets, right? So in Islam, we believe in the Quran. So we believe the Quran was sent down to the Prophet, peace be upon him, by God through Angel Gabriel. But we are commanded to believe in the books that were sent down before as well. What are the books, some of the books? The Old Testament, the New Testament, right? The Psalms, different books. Some of the books we don't even know where they came for or when they existed, but we are still commanded that we have to believe in them. Now, there's a caveat to that. We believe that the Quran abrogated some of the books, meaning to say that, you know, whatever is in the Quran, if there's something that's not consistent with the other books and with the Quran takes precedence over the other books. All right. The next one's a little tricky, and I'll just say two sentences, and then if you have more questions, maybe we can discuss it a little bit more detail. The next one is to believe in preordained destiny. Okay, so we believe that God has already destined what is going to happen. So it's tricky, right? I know the obvious question is, you know, then why are we doing this? You know, what's the thing, right? You know, even in our religion, it's a very detailed discussion about this subject. But in the Quran, God basically says that your job is to believe that everything's predestined. Your minds are not at the level where it can understand this concept. You know, this is something way above us, right? Even though God says that, our scholars, of course, us being humans, we want to find out, we want to figure out how it works. So even scholars in Islam have looked into it and, you know, tried to figure out what it is and what it isn't. Unfortunately, I'm not a scholar, so I don't feel like I'm up to that level to discuss it. But if somebody has more questions, we can go into a little bit more detail. And then the last one is to believe in the last day and a day of resurrection. Basically, meaning that once we die, we have an afterlife where God will determine if we were good or not so good. Meaning if there is a heaven and a hell, and we have to believe in that, and we have to believe that God will be the one who will determine who goes where based on his mercy. So I think those were six. I hope those were six. Aiza? So my daughter, whenever she goes to my talks, she always puts me on the spot, right? So she always asks these tough, tough questions, which sometimes I don't have answers for. So I was a little wary when she said she's coming today. I was like, she's going to embarrass me. But she can. It's not a problem. I'll try to answer anything. So that's basically a quick summary of what Islam is, right? The five pillars and six articles of faith. Did I do 10 minutes? Was it a little bit more? Probably a little bit more. But
where you had more time.
I did have more time. So I'll open up for questions now. Yes? Mr.
Islam,
Treasurer.
Is there a concept of the devil or forces of evil?
Yes. Yes, there is a concept of devil. It's very similar to the other faiths as well. So in our scriptures and our understanding, what happens was that there was a creature in heaven who was a follower of God, who used to worship God. Okay. Then God created Adam. And when God created Adam, this creature became jealous. He became so jealous that he rebelled against God. And he is the one who has become the devil, right? In Arabic, we call him Shaitan. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes?
The Bible has been written or changed many, many times based on the people at that stage, that age.
Correct.
And based on what they believed in at the time. Are you saying that the Quran was written or delivered by angels, or was it written and changed by men also?
It's a very good question. So the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad through Angel Gabriel in the Arabic tongue. All right. So if you ask any Muslim today, what language is the Quran in? 100% everybody will say Arabic. Okay. When I recite in Arabic. My daughter, she recites in Arabic. My father, he recites the Quran in Arabic because that is the Quran. Do we have translations of the Quran? Yes. But if you ask anyone, is that the Quran? They will say, no, that is a translation of the Quran. Meaning to say that we have the original script from day one in the same Arabic, in the same alphabet, letter by letter, from 1400 years ago until now. The Arabic Quran has not been changed a single letter since that day. Yeah, just a quick, so this is my pride and joy. It's a great, great honor for somebody to memorize the Quran. And there's millions of people around the world that memorize the Quran. It's about 600 pages, right, in Arabic. So my daughter, so she actually memorized the Quran in 2.5 years, and she finished last year. So that's my pride and joy. I was like, you know, I don't think you getting married or me having grandkids would ever beat the joy that I had when she memorized the whole Quran. So, yes. Please.
Okay.
Until Mary lets us ask these questions. So.
No.
What they're saying.
Exactly.
Correct.
I can mimic any language.
Correct.
I don't know what it's really saying.
Correct. So if you look around the world, the majority of Muslims are not Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not Arab. Okay. Do I read the Quran Arabic? Yes. Do I know the letters and can I read it from the book? Yes. Do I know exactly what the Arabic is saying? No, I don't. Okay. What do? I go to scholars to help me figure out what it's saying, and I go to the translation. Yeah. Meaning to say, yes, there are translations, and because of that, you do have different interpretations of the Quran, right? But ultimately, the Arabic Quran is the Arabic Quran. Somebody, if somebody is having a true issue, you can go back to the Arabic Quran and figure out exactly what it's trying to say.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Sure.
Kind of?
Yeah,
okay. Correct.
So the devil is thinking, so if I choose to spend all of my money, I have nothing to do.
That's correct. So let me give a little bit more detail. So 2.5 is the mandatory. Okay? You can give whatever you want on top of that, right? The more you give, the better it is. The better it is for you. But God says minimum you have to give 2.5. So what you say, yes, somebody can do that.
2.5 is the same, but then in other religions, as I understand it, often that 5% is of your income.
Correct. That's why I made the difference, because I'm familiar with other religions, right? So it's 2.5% of savings. Basically, God says... Now, if somebody wants to, you know, find a loophole, yes, the loophole is there, right? But you know, God basically is like, listen, I want you to live your life. You know, I don't want you to live like a hermit or, you know, live your life, not a problem. But give a little bit to others as well. That's, you know, minimum. Like I said, minimum. That's what's required. Yes. So, like I said, part of our religion is to serve humanity, right? In another part of of the Quran, it says that I have sent you to, I have put you on earth as a viceroy, or as a, as my representative on earth. Meaning to say, you have to do my work, right? So community service is extremely, extremely important, right? Like Mary said, I go on medical mission trips 2 to 3 times a year. And a lot of my patients don't like it because I'm not here. And I usually get an earful when I get back. But I feel, you know, I'm living very comfortably here. But, you know, like you said, community service is very important. So I do that overseas as well. And then Alfredo, of course, you know, continuously, you know, things are happening. So to her point, if somebody doesn't have savings, right, then yeah, the next thing, of course, you know, time is just as good, correct? Yes.
It's been a while since I studied, but isn't there like an encouraged time period to a major or pilgrimage time? And if so, have you made yours, and what was it like?
Correct. So the pilgrimage, the Hajj, which is the last pillar, it is supposed to be made as quickly as possible if you have the financial ability and you are healthy. Okay, so it doesn't mean you live again like a hermit just to save for this pilgrimage and then go. It's basically like when you're ready financially to go, then you can go. All right, so to answer your question, I have been on it twice. The first time was in 2013, soon after I finished residency, and I was financially able to, right? At that time, our kids were young, so I told my wife, I'm going, I'll see you later, right? Last year, my wife was like, listen, our kids are old enough, it's my turn. I was like, yay, I get to go a second time. So last year, I went again with my wife. Yes. Okay. So, mullah, I'll use the word imam, which is a more accurate word. If we look at our history, you know, the imam is a more accurate word for it. So, imam is basically the leader. So, the imam in this world, like here, I'll say here in the US, it's basically based on knowledge. Okay, there's no requirement for you to be an imam that you have to have certain years of this, or you have to know this much Quran or this or whatnot. The community basically decides based on, you know, who they think would be a good imam. Okay, now when we pray, if you're praying in congregation, there's a person in the front who leads, who's called an imam. And that can be basically anyone who knows how to recite Arabic, right? The general rule is the more Arabic you know, the you should be the one who's leading. So have I been imam at the mosque to lead prayers? Yes, right? If there's somebody who is more knowledgeable than myself, then of course, then they step forward and we become imam. So it's not structured, to answer your question, it's not as structured that this person is the imam and nobody else can do what they're doing. Does that answer your question? Yeah? Okay. Yes?
Now, I know the Christian churches are having a real difficult time dealing with sexual orientation. And I noticed that you specifically referred to God in the male. How do you deal with sexual orientation?
Okay, you're not gonna like my answer, but you'll learn. I'm honest. I believe my religion, right, wholeheartedly, and I usually give this disclaimer whenever I give my talks in other churches, but this one's a little bit more, you know, it's different, so I didn't give this disclaimer. But my disclaimer usually is, listen, my religion is different than other religions, and some of the things you guys aren't gonna like, right? So sexual orientation, we refer to God as he because he refers to himself as he. Okay. Now, do we believe God is a he? No. But do we have a pronoun for God? No, we don't. So we just refer to him as he. Just like in English, you know, the default is usually he, right? I mean, if you're referring to a group, you refer as they, but in Arabic, you don't have a they. You either have feminine or masculine, right? So it's a grammatical issue that we don't have an it, or we don't have a they. Everything's feminine or everything's masculine. So because of that, you have to refer as something. And God refers to himself as he, so we refer to himself as he. We refer to him as he. Does that answer your question? The other part, I'll just say that in our religion, the issue of sexuality, we believe that, you know, the relationship should be between a man and a woman. Okay, that's our religion. That doesn't mean we don't treat everybody with respect. Okay, so if somebody comes to me and says, hey, you know, this is me, I'm like, hey, fine. You know, that's you. And we're okay with that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Can they be in the same religion?
Yes.
Can they be Muslim? So like I said, the crux of Islam is that you have to believe in God and that Muhammad is his messenger. Okay? Now, after that, that's the crux of it. So if you say that, you're a Muslim. Okay? Now, after that, if you say, I am homosexual, that would be considered a sin, but you would still be considered a Muslim. Right? All of us sin. Nobody's perfect. Right? So, do I miss prayers? Yes, I have missed prayers. Am I sinning because of that? Yes, I'm sinning. So the same goes with that as well. Still considered a Muslim, but sin.
Is there a belief that is different between the Sunnis and the Shia in the religion itself?
That is a very detailed question. The short answer is yes.
What was the question?
Is there a religious, a theological, I'll just reword it, a theological difference between Shia and Muslim strands of Islam? Yes. I'll make it a little bit longer than that and say that the Shia, so I'm Sunni, most of the Muslims in the world are Sunni. The Shia strand originally started off as a political issue. When the Prophet died and then the successors were chosen, the Shias felt certain people should have been chosen, whereas the rest of the Muslims felt somebody else would be chosen. So it started as a political divide, and then over time, things, you know, just mushroom out of control and something like that. It is. So do they believe that, again, I'll go back to the crux, do they believe that Allah or God is one without any partners or associates? Yes. Do they believe Muhammad is his last messenger? Yes. Are they Muslim? Yes. Like I said, that's why I said it's hard to answer that question in 2 minutes because it has a lot of layers and a lot of intricacies to it. Yeah. Can I just take him since he hasn't? Yes.
There are many ethical issues that the medical profession struggles with.
Yes.
And simple things like vaccination, pain and suffering, especially end of life issues.
Yes.
How does Islam affect your practice of medicine?
So your question is a very deep question. Again, I have actually been to conferences to understand what the Islamic understanding for some of these things are. Generally speaking, it does not affect my practice here because of the population that I treat. Because then my priorities become my patient and what's in their best interest and what they want. Does that answer your question? Ask a more specific question.
You said it doesn't affect your practice here. Are you suggesting that in another context it would affect?
In an Islamic world, yeah, it may affect it a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, I think the time is getting away from us. We'll take one last question, and then I'm sure that, well, two last questions.
Okay.
And then I'm sure Dr. Kidwai will stay around to ask, you know, after the service, we can get
sure.
other questions answered.
Yes.
So, for some strange reason, my partner and I were a week ahead of things. We were expecting Ed to be the speaker today. So I want to say I'm absolutely thrilled. Not that I wouldn't be thrilled with that. Thrilled that we did not miss you being here.
Awesome.
And I really knew nothing of your faith. And what you educated me with today is that we're all very similar.
We are very similar,
and,
right?
You know, and I have this expression that we're all pink inside. And I think that, and I want to thank you so much from my heart that we're all very similar. And I think people get funky, I'll use that word, because perhaps you worship a little different, you're physically.
Correct.
People, and people don't understand that. And because Muslims or other religious may worship a little different, some people get either offended by it because we're not all doing the same thing. But I think we're all the same. And I want to thank you for being here and making me realize that, because I was just totally uneducated and didn't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's what has brought us to this church, because it's so open and about just people and humanity and
correct.
Loving everyone and
yeah.
doing the best for everyone. So I'm thrilled. And I want to talk to you on a different subject afterwards.
Sure. You are more than welcome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's an honor for me to be here. So, yes.
I was raised in Christian religion.
Okay.
And taught that every other religion is wrong, Christianity is right. So my question is, mainstream Muslims, your mainstream, how are you taught to view all of the other religions?
Okay. Okay. Again, I'll preface it that you may not like what I'm going to say. All right. There's two things to that. First thing is, you look at what God has told you. Okay. So God has said in the Quran that if you don't follow the crux again, that you believe in a God as one without any partners or associate, and you believe that Prophet Muhammad is the ultimate messenger, things are not going to go well for you. I'll just leave it at that. But having said that, God also says that that's what we are supposed to say and that's what we're taught. Okay? But then God also says that nobody enters heaven except by my mercy, by God's mercy, right? Meaning to say, it doesn't matter what you do, right? Me standing here, me going on mission trips, you know, you guys doing all the good that you do, that's irrelevant to God. God's mercy is the only thing that gets you into heaven. Okay? So, if you ask me, what am I supposed to tell you? I'm supposed to say things aren't going to go well.
That's a kid way.
Wahhabism is is a newer concept. It depends on what you define as Wahhabism, because also these are not Wahhabis. That's why I say the term Wahhabi is used very freely and it's very specific, right? So I can answer that, but I think it's another detailed question. To say also these are Wahhabis is not true.
Can I get a clarification?
Yes.
When you said things are not going to go well,
yes.
Do you mean things are not going to go well for you after
life? Afterlife. Afterlife. No, afterlife.
During your life.
Afterlife. No, you guys are, no, afterlife.
Maybe that's the fear of all people, that there's this Muslim thing that if you're not.
No, okay, I see your point. I see your point.
It's war.
No. So to clarify, it's for afterlife. Okay. During this life, can I just give him a little? Okay.
Then that's gonna be it.
All right. So I'll just say this: that if do you know what the population of Muslims are in the world? Correct. Yeah, it's about 2 billion, right? So if there was fear that during this life something wasn't going to go well for you, things would be really, really bad by now. Right, that's something portrayed by the media. Did any of you get that from anything I said? That you know, you guys are in trouble.
No.
Right.
No.
So the media, you know, always has a twist, and that twist always is a negative twist towards Islam. So take whatever you know is said in the media with a grain of salt, or come to me and maybe you know we can hash it out and clarify it. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.